am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So, there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. This is the word of the Lord.
So, this reading can be found on page 599 of the Pew Bibles, and it is Isaiah chapter 40, beginning to read at verse 1. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem, and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall. But the word of our God endures forever. You who bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. This is the word of the Lord.
If any of the boys and girls want to come into the front, that would be fantastic. Come round this area, because I might need a little bit of help in a minute. But it's great, isn't it, that it's Mothering Sunday. One of the ways that we celebrate this is by giving flowers. For all those people who like stats, is some flower stats to start with. That's it, boys and girls. Have a little sit down. You okay, Max? 83% of the gifts that we give on this day are fresh flowers. That's good, isn't it? About 62% of those flowers go to our mothers. 20-odd% goes to our wives. And 19% goes to our mothers-in-law, which I think is about 10% too high, isn't it? She's not here today, is she? Is she here? Can we have a mother-in-law check? She's not here. No, she's not here. Okay. Right. Are you okay, bro? And the average price paid for a bunch of flowers is £5.36. That doesn't seem like a great amount, does it? Are you okay? Now, I have a love-hate relationship with flowers, boys and girls, and bigger boys and girls. I love flowers because I can say things to Kathy, things like, our tulips should kiss. People have often said to me, Chris, when are you going to get into drying flowers? I say, I've got too many other pressing things I need to be getting on with. And I have a hate relationship with flowers because the last couple of nights I've been waking up and I've been finding hundreds of flower heads all over my car and all over the drive. It's been happening for days. Boys and girls, I think I'm being stalked. Now, flowers have loads of purposes, don't they? Can you think of any reasons why you give someone a bunch of flowers apart from today? Why else would you give someone a bunch of flowers? Shout them out. Yes, Max? For a birthday, fantastic, well done. Any other reasons you might give someone a bunch of flowers? Any? What happens on, actually, Mother's Day is the second most popular day for giving out flowers. Does anyone know the most popular day for giving out flowers, Jonah? Not Easter, no. Yes, Daisy? Valentine's Day, spoken like a true Johnson. Thank you. Yeah, it's Valentine's Day, isn't it? But we give flowers to say, I love you. We give flowers to say, I'm sorry for your loss. We give flowers to say, well done. And we give flowers to cheer people up, don't they? Because flowers are brilliant. They're beautiful. You can get them all year round. They smell great. And they really do brighten up a house, aren't they? Flowers are absolutely brilliant. But you know what, boys and girls, and bigger boys and girls? There's something better than flowers. And that's what our passage tells us today. There's three things better than flowers. Yeah, you go anywhere you want, mate. Don't worry. Okay. Three things better than flowers. One is the comfort of God. Second, the glory of God. And third, the word of God. They're the three things, boys and girls, we're going to look at today. Before we do, can I pray? And then we'll get to work. Okay, so let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this special day. We thank you that flowers are a gift and they remind us of your beauty in creation. But we do pray that you'd help us to see that there's something better than flowers. And we ask that you'd reveal it through your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Fantastic. So one of the reasons, boys and girls, we give flowers is to comfort people. So when someone's feeling a bit down, if they're feeling a bit unwell or they need cheering up, we give them flowers. Now, does anyone know what a botanist is? A botanist, that's quite hard, isn't it? Anyone know what a botanist is? And it's not somebody who works down the bottom of the road serving. Although that is true. Yes, Oscar? It's someone who's involved in flowers, okay? And there was a famous American guy, boys and girls, called Luther Burbank. And he said this about flowers. He said, flowers always make people better, happier, and more helpful. They are sunshine, food, and medicine for the soul. But did you notice in our passage, it talked about comfort? So the prophet Isaiah was told to tell the people that God is going to comfort them. But God's not going to comfort them with flowers. God's going to comfort them in a different way. You see, boys and girls, the people in the Bible, they've been sent into exile. That means that they've been sent away from their homes. And they were far from God. And the thing that God comforts them with isn't with flowers. But in verse 2, we learn this, that your sin has been pardoned. Your sin has been dealt with. Your sin has been forgiven. Now, boys and girls, do you think that's a little bit strange that these people who were living far from their homes, they were far from God, God would say, I'm going to comfort you by telling you your sins are forgiven. That seems a bit odd, doesn't it? But you know what, boys and girls? This is the greatest thing God can do. Is the greatest comfort God can give us is to remind us that our sins have been taken away. Because you see, boys and girls, our greatest problem in this world isn't how much money's in the bank. Our greatest problem in this world isn't, girls, whether you're as pretty as those other girls. Our greatest problem in this world isn't whether you leave school with 7, 8, and 9s. Our biggest problem in this world is not whether there's going to be a man out there who's going to fulfill all your dreams. Our biggest problem in this world isn't whether we get better from that really bad illness. Look right at me, boys and girls, and bigger boys and girls, because this is it. Our biggest problem is this, our sin. You see, our sin separates us from God. Sin is when we love other things more than God. And when we do that, we have to face the punishment for our sin. And the Bible tells us that God has made a way to do that. It's not through us, it's through God. God brings comfort to us by forgiving our sins. Now you might be saying, boys and girls, how on earth does God do that? Well, that's a great question, because that leads us to our second point. But before we do our second point, look at this for a visual aid. I need someone to hold this, because we said there's something better than flowers. Max, come here, your hand was up first. And there's something better than flowers is this, the comfort of God. Now you might think, what's this picture about? Because it looks a bit mad, and it might come up on the screen there. But this is, see those girls there? They're sinning. They're making fun of that other girl. They're being mean. And this is a reminder that something better than flowers is that God takes our sin away. Can you hold that, Max, so everyone can be reminded? Okay, good boy. Right, so the second point, if the passage tells us about the comfort of God, the second point is that we learn about the glory of God. Now, put your hands up if anyone's ever seen the film Bruce Almighty, Ace Ventura, The Mask. Anyone ever seen those films? Okay. You will know that that's an actor called Jim Carrey. And Jim Carrey didn't only act, but he also knew a lot about flowers. Look what Jim Carrey says about flowers. He says, flowers don't worry about how they're going to bloom. They just open up and turn toward the light, and that makes them beautiful. Isn't that a load of pretentious rubbish? But it sounds okay, doesn't it? You see, people love, boys and girls, looking at flowers. So much so that in 1987, I know that seems a long time ago, in 1987, someone paid £24 million for a painting. And this is the painting here. Talk about overpriced or what? I wouldn't even pay £24 for that, would you? But apparently some guy called Van Gogh, I don't know, I've never heard of him. Vincent Van Gogh, thanks, Kath. He painted it, and someone bought it for 24 million. Would you buy that for 24 million? No. But it does tell us that flowers are impressive. People love to look at flowers. Now, in our passage, we're told that God is going to send someone, and nothing's going to stop him. Roads are going to be cleared. Valleys are going to be lifted up. Mountains are going to be pushed down. Because this person God sends is really important. Who do you think it is, boys and girls, that God's going to send? Yes, Ollie. Whoa, Ollie, that's fantastic. It is Jesus. And you know how we know it's Jesus? Because in verses 10 and 11, it says that this person is going to come in mighty power. It tells us that this person is going to come like a shepherd gathers his sheep. And we heard John read from his own book, the book of John. Anyone? No? Okay, didn't get that. That Jesus is the good shepherd. That Jesus is going to come in power. He's going to defeat our enemies of sin, Satan, and death. Jesus is going to be the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus is going to help people who are wandering far from God to come back to God, boys and girls. Now the question for us this morning is this. Have we come to trust in Jesus? Boys and girls, have you come to trust in Jesus? Because nothing else in this world will give you the comfort that Jesus does. Because only Jesus can forgive our sin. Now, girls, I just want to speak to you for a minute, okay? Because this is Mother's Day, but I want to speak to the girls today. So if you're a young girl, just listen up for a minute. Because there's many things, girls, in this world that are impressive, okay? Leaving school with 7, 8s, and 9s is very impressive. That boy with the nice hair and the swag is impressive. Those girls on social media might seem impressive. Having nice hair and new clothes is impressive. But look right at me. The most impressive thing in this world is Jesus. Jesus is powerful. Jesus is tender. And Jesus is powerful. Okay, girls, I want you, if you're obsessed with one thing in this world, girls, be obsessed with Jesus. Jesus is the glory of God. Jesus, through his death, brings us comfort because he pays for our sin. And you know how impressive Jesus is, boys and girls? Do you remember I talked about that painting? Next one, please, Miles. Not that one. There we go. In 2016, right, somebody paid, let me just get this right, £450 million for this picture. It's called Salvador Mundi, and that's Latin for save you the world. Who do you think that's a picture of? Jesus, isn't it, Ollie? It's a picture of Jesus. Fantastic. Boys and girls, he is impressive. He is the glory of God. He is the one who will bring comfort. Because only he pays for our sins. Boys and girls, that's something worth thinking about and singing about. Fantastic. Right, have a sit down for us, boys and girls. So we heard, didn't we, that there's something better than flowers, and that is the comfort of God. God forgives our sins. But we just heard that there's something better than flowers, and that's the glory of God. That Jesus has come and paid the penalty for our sins, okay? Can two people just come and hold them very quickly? Ollie, you come up. Come, and oh, it's a Taylor. Taylor twins. There we go. Fantastic. So the third thing we're going to think about is the Word of God. Now, boys and girls, I was in the flower shop the other day, and a man was there, and he was complaining. He said, why do we have to pay so much for something that's going to die? And I said, no. And we have to give them flowers too. Now listen, no. Because that's in the passage. That's in the passage. Look at the passage if you don't believe me. Verse 6, 7, and 8. All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the what? The word of God will stand forever. Now listen, boys and girls, we know it's true, don't we? We know that people wither. That means they get old and sometimes they pass on. And we know that our beauty fades away. We know those things. And yet, boys and girls, we want to build our lives on those things. Sometimes, right, we look to children. We look to our spouses, we look to parents, we look to boyfriends and girlfriends to give us everything that we need. And you know, boys and girls, when we do that, when we look to other people to be our savior, it's going to end badly. Because people let us down, people disappoint us, people frustrate us, people hurt us, don't they, Ollie? People leave us heartbroken. And it's often not their fault. Often we put too much weight of expectation on people to sort us out, and they can never do that. And often when we idolize people, it leads to us demonizing them. Parents, can I just speak to you for a moment, please? Can you provide your children with a home where they can fail? Where they can fail knowing that grace awaits for them? Parents, can I encourage you to work hard on your marriages so children don't become the focal point of all your conversations? More importantly, parents, can I ask you to work even harder on your relationship with Jesus so that when your kids look at you, they see that you are impressed by him? Spouses, Can I ask you to give each other a break? You're two sinners saved by grace living in a fallen world. You're going to get it wrong. They're going to get it wrong. Be quick to repent and even quicker to forgive. And singles, may I be so bold to say that, listen, the dream is not to be married. The Bible does say that marriage is a good thing, but it doesn't say it's the best thing. The best thing is to be single because you're not distracted by your spouse and their demands. You're free to serve the Lord more. You see, people are going to wither like grass, so don't look to them to be your savior. Look to the eternal savior who we find in the eternal word. Now, so flowers are impressive, aren't they? But they do fade. The word of the Lord doesn't fade, boys and girls. Who wants to come and hold this for us? Matilda, you come up. Now, what about our looks? I want everyone to pay attention to this because I feel really strongly about this today, okay? Girls, I want you to do me a favor. Stand up for a minute. I know this is a bit awkward, but just stand up just for a second. Stand up, turn around, and look at the ladies in this church. Just look at the ladies in this church. Okay, you can sit down now because I know it's freaking everyone out. Right, listen to me when I say this, okay? There are women in this church are beautiful. They are beautiful, but it's not because of how they look. And you need to understand this, girls. Your beauty is not defined by how you look. The beautiful women in this church are beautiful because they love Jesus. And if you're a woman who loves Jesus, then you are gracious. You are humble. You are bold. You are kind. You are generous. Wouldn't it be fantastic if our girls looked out at you women in this church and said, I want to be like them when I'm older? Wouldn't that be fantastic? Listen to me. This is very serious, okay? I don't normally get this serious, but I want you to hear me say this. Ladies in this church, you have a responsibility, according to the Bible, according to Titus 2, to give these girls an example. Titus 2 says this, that women, older women, and forgive me for saying this, but you're all older women compared to these girls, you need to be reverent in your behavior, not to gossip, not to drink too much wine. You're to teach these girls what is good, and you're to train them in how to be godly women. Now look right at me, ladies. That is a massive responsibility. But don't these girls need it? Can I get an amen? Because don't leave me standing here, okay? Can I get an amen? Okay, we're going all charismatic. Now look, the glory of Jesus never dims. Okay, never flowers fade. Jesus never fades. How do we know about Jesus? We know about Jesus from the word of God. Again, I'm just going to finish talking to the ladies. If you're a grandma, if you're a mum, if you're an aunt, if you're a godmother, listen to this. You're not going to be here forever. But the word of God will. We want to give our girls such a strong foundation that they can build their lives on something which isn't going to give way. Their looks, their academic achievements, their relationships, fashion trends will come and go. But the word of God will remain forever. Can we make it our desire to pass the word on to these young people? Can we do that? Can we as a church make it a priority to pass on the word of God to the younger generations? Can we do that? Can I hear a yes?
Yes.
Can we as a church try and get alongside families and help them disciple their children? Can we do that?
Yes.
And are we as a church going to see that the comfort of God, the glory of God, and the word of God is something that we all need this Mother's Day? Can we all see that? Fantastic. Let's give these three a big round of applause. Thanks, guys. Pass us that. Thank you, bro. Right. Just before I hand back to Helen, I'm going to pray. Let's pray, boys and girls. Remember our prayer drill? We go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Dear God, thank you for the wonderful reminder that because of Jesus, we can have great comfort because our sins have been forgiven and the penalty for them paid for. Father, it is an awesome responsibility and privilege to pass on the word of God to these young generations. Help us to do that as a church, as families, we pray. And may we make our stand on the word of God that endures forever. In Jesus' name, amen.